Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was a place of grass in that, or plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. When they all had all they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them 12 baskets filled with pieces of the five barley loaves left over from those who had eaten. And the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, and they began to say, "Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So far the text. As I read the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples, I kind of thought it was like a riddle. And I've never been very good at riddles. And so I went online and just to see if I'd improved any. And so I picked out a few riddles. And by the way, I didn't get the answers to any of these. Okay? So don't shout out the answer if you know it. Okay, let's remember, we're Lutheran. Show some decorum, okay? So, the first one is a man condemned to death. He has three houses he can go into, right? And one, there are men with guns who will shoot him, and the other one is filled with fire, and the other one has lions who haven't eaten like a year. I should have gotten that one, right? Obviously, you go in the room with the lions, because if they haven't eaten for a year, they're dead, okay? So, I couldn't get that one. Another one, five sisters, right? There are five sisters. One's reading a book, one's cooking, one plays chess, one's washing clothes. What's the fifth one doing? I couldn't get that one. Obviously, she's playing chess, okay, with the other sister who's playing chess. That never occurred to me. All right, David's father has three sons, Snap, Crackle, and, well, Pop is what I thought, but obviously it's David because David's father had three sons. But again, I missed that one. In a one-story house, in the house, there's a pink person, a pink cat, a pink fish, a pink chair, pink table, pink telephone, pink shower. What color are the stairs? Well, it's one story. There are no stairs, you see. Now, the problem I have, okay, with riddles is there's so much information that I'm trying to wrap my mind around the information, so the very subtle and simple clue I miss every time. The disciples have that same weakness. Now, the setting we have here, what happened right before this is John the Baptist was put to death by Herod Antipas. So Jesus and his disciples withdraw to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, so on the west, northwest side, by a town called Bethsaida. Bethsaida in Aramaic means the home of the fishermen, which makes a lot of sense on the Sea of Galilee. And so he goes to a remote place where Herod Antipas can't go, but certainly crowds of people can go. And when you read all four of these accounts of this, you see that Jesus had compassion on these people, this mass of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He had compassion on them. He healed them. He taught them all day until finally the evening comes. And now a question has to be asked. This is where Matthew, Mark, and Luke are different than John. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as we heard in our gospel text, the disciples begin the question, right? What are we going to do with these guys? How are we going to get food for these guys? You have to send them back to their homes to get food. What's different about John is, in John, Jesus is the one who raises the question, how are we going to afford to buy enough food to feed all these people? Obviously, to understand these two seemingly distinct examples of this, we just have to say that everybody's asking the same question at this time, disciples and Jesus. What John wants to point out is that Jesus is asking this of the disciples to test them. It's like a riddle. And what are you going to do? Well, he asks this of the disciples, and they get the information that they need, right? There's a kid here. He's got five loaves. By the way, the word for loaf there in Greek is not a big loaf of bread. It's a little bun, okay? So he's got five buns and two fish. Okay, that's it. Did it ever occur to you that there's the only person who brought food that day was a kid? That boggles my mind. There had to be 15,000 people there, and only one person brought lunch? I don't know. Anyway, whole sermon on that, I guess, in itself. But anyway, that's all the food they got. That's their information, right? They have that information. And so now they do the math, right? First, Philip does the math. He sees how many people there are, and he does the math, and he goes, 8 months, 240 denarii wouldn't be enough to feed them and satisfy them. They'd each get a bite. And then Andrew jumps in there, and he does some math, right? Well, okay, if we got five buns and two fish, right, that's a bun for every 1,000 people and a fish for every 2,500. It's not enough. We got to send them to town. Yes, they were very focused on the math, very focused on the problem. And we approach problems in our life in the very same way. We get the data, we get the information, we realize nothing is going to work. And the reality of our circumstances blinds us to what is possible. And our world gets a little smaller, and our vision gets a little more narrow. And not only is our vision narrow, but it's aimed in the wrong direction. A couple weeks ago, I went in for my eye test. You know, they put that big machine in front of your eyes, and they, you know, is this better? Is this better? They finally get you honed in on what you should see, right? Then they have you do the letters. And, you know, read this line, I read that line, read this line, I read that line. And then he goes, well, just for fun, read the bottom line. Well, I never have a problem, you know. I mean, it's like the only test I ever got an A on, right? Because I can read the bottom line. And he goes, wow, that's perfect. So I got 20/15 vision with my glasses on. Then he did a test that I don't remember him ever doing before. He told me to focus on a center point, and then he kind of held up his hand on either side, kind of far apart, and says, how many fingers do I have up? So I said, 1, 3, 5, 4, you know. He's testing not my direct vision, he's testing my peripheral vision. Direct vision's nice, but we need to have the entire scope of the vision. See, the problem we have when we approach problems and approach life this way, as if life is a problem that has to be solved, is we see that we can't solve it. And if we are facing 5,000, there's no way that anyone's going to get enough. But in verse 5 here, Jesus is not asking Philip or Andrew or any of the other disciples to do math. He's testing them. Will they focus on what is missing? Or will they focus on me? What's missing has never been the fish and the bread. What's missing is the vision. That standing right in front of them is the full abundance of God in the person of Jesus Christ, who all day has been healing people, teaching people, caring for people, and pretty sure he's going to feed people. So Jesus is not giving them a riddle. Riddles are meant to trick people. Okay, he's not doing that. He's testing them. He wants to see if they can stop looking at what's missing, looking at what's impossible, and instead look at him. The Savior who is in their life, and the Savior who promises that he will never leave them. Every day of our life, we are going to be facing the 5,000. Every day. In other words, we'll face the impossible. It could be in our life, it could be in our relationships, it could be at work, it could be at church, it could be in the way we see our present or our hopes for the future. And we see this, and Jesus says, what are you going to do? How are you going to feed them? And day after day after day, Jesus helps us to stop focusing on ourselves and what we can't do and what is lacking, and instead to look to him, the Savior who already did the impossible by taking sinners and making them into children of God. And then when we're faced with a riddle of life and Jesus says, what are you going to do about it? Then we can answer Jesus back as the disciples should have. And by grace, as our eyes are opened in faith, we see that Jesus is there. And we say, well, since you're here, what are you going to do about it? In Jesus' name, amen.